Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry. Whether you're in animal welfare or a for-profit pet company, we want to help you get some PR and buzz for your nonprofit or business. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, one of the hosts of the show, along with my lovely co-host, Alexandre Card, a cat rescuer and public relations professional who hails from France, but now lives in the wonderful town of Vancouver. Bonjour, Alex. How does it go with you?
Hey, everybody. It's going well. We finally got some snow here. I was really waiting for it because, you know, I just love snow. And it snowed like last week and the snow is still here because it's so cold. It's not melting, which I had never experienced before. So, yeah, I'm still loving it, though. So that's good.
Woohoo!
And then joining us is our fabulous producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who is the man who gets us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day.
Ooh, Valentine's Day.
No snow here in Florida.
That's surprising.
Are you taking Michelle out for a lovely dinner, Mark?
Actually, we're going to go to happy hour, which is more fun.
Yes.
To drink some margaritas.
We're going to do that. Drink some margaritas. Yes. For sure. And we had a lot of fun things this week because thanks to you guys, we went to see the amazing Acro Cats this week.
Woo-hoo! Oh my God, how was it?
The cats were really, really cute. And they did some fun stuff.
Oh.
And so we had fun at that. And then since it's Valentine's Day, we also had Dylan Lauren, Ralph Lauren's daughter, on Dylan's Candy Bar, who has a rabbit rescue and all kinds of stuff. And she talking all about candy.
Oh my gosh. Which podcast is that on?
That's Jill's podcast, Rappaport to the Rescue. I know I always promote her every week, but she's got good guests.
Yeah. Well, Jill's the connected person. You know how that goes. But that's so amazing. I've been to Dylan's Candy Bar in New York.
Yeah.
It's so yummy and you can just kind of eat your way through it, but you're kind of like eating a lot of samples and that's not good.
No, I know. Well, she sent us once a whole big giant basket of candy, which was great, except I don't need all that candy.
Then you had all the candy. You got a sugar high. Well, we're so honored to be part of Mark's Pet Life Radio Network, and you can do PR for yourself. And Alex, Mark, and I are going to help you every week.
And today we've got a great artist with us on the show. Bryn Souza is the director of customer experience at DogTV. She has a ton of experience in the pet industry where she does everything from marketing to blogging to content marketing to freelance writing for pet publications. Welcome, Bryn. We're so happy you're on the show.
Oh, hello. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be here.
We would like to start with asking you, can you tell us how you got into the pet industry and DogTV?
Yeah, yes. So I, for a long, long time, worked in higher education. And I, while I was working in higher education, adopted or brought my first dog into my world. Her name was Bean. She was a little brown Boston Terrier. And I don't know, it turned a switch on in my brain box as soon as she came into my life. For, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds, I was that person who said, there won't be any pets on the couch. They won't be in the bed. And then quickly, within minutes, she just became my little Velcro dog. And she was with me everywhere. She followed me into the bathroom when I took a shower. She hid behind my legs when she went out to go potty because she was afraid of the grass. She was always a part of my existence. And I fell in love with her. So as one does, I'm sure both of you, well, all three of you can attest to, you kind of start to obsessively take photos of your cats or dogs. And for me at that point, it was taking videos and photos of them and posting them on Instagram when it was still just, here's a cute picture. And there was no fear of algorithm. It was just, this is a cute animal. You will also like this cute animal. Let's appreciate this cute animal together. And for some reason, I started to learn about pet photography contests. And I kept on entering them. So a lot of brands, and you still see this, but it's a little bit different now. It feels different. But a lot of brands will post on their social, share an image of your dog and or your cat, and you might win a prize. So I kept on winning prizes. I kept on taking photos of Bean and winning contests. And I, at that point, kind of realized two things. One, there was power with that. Potential power. And two, apparently I was a better photographer than I thought. So I leaned in on that and I wound up winning a lot of prizes for pet contests. And I think after doing some of the math, it's wound up total being about $35,000 worth of stuff that I've won.
Wow.
Oh my God. And anything that I've won, so it's not necessarily money. Usually it's not. It's products, supplies, sometimes it's grants. I will donate to our local shelter. So everything that I have won, whenever possible, I've donated. So that's been a great way for me to feel like I'm helping in the pet space and also share cute photos of my creatures. Photo allowed me to win a trip to something called Blog Paws, which Mary...
Yes.
I had a chance to go to a few times. And Alex, I met you a couple months ago for the first time. So Blog Paws is a community for pet people who are also, in many cases, the blogging space, but now it's also related to micro-influencers, social media influencers, people who are sharing their love of pets, not just in the conventional writing way, but in other ways as well. So it's changed along the years. But that concept of pets and communication and those people that are in between is really what Blog Paws is all about. So I won a trip to Blog Paws, and this one was in Nashville. So I brought my parents with me. They rented a very large car and drove around Nashville, and they didn't get lost, but I'm surprised by that. And I know that they tried on hats and ate the hot chicken and did lots of wild stuff while I was away. And I realized in that time while I was going to the conference, I was like, oh, you can actually make this into a business. You can actually be a pet blogger. So I did not have a blog when I joined that world. I just went because I won the trip.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started the blog, I would say about 4 or 5 months after. So my blog is A Dog Walks Into a Bar. It's dogs and drinking. That's what my life is. And honestly, part of the reason why I started it was I could then write off going to breweries as a business expense. So
I love that
of a twist in, but it works. And so at that time, I also had a dog named Yoda. He was a Boston Terrier who was basically a baked potato with legs. So he was very round and he just sort of puddled around a little bit. And he was a very chill dog. So he was comfortable going to places like breweries and wineries. Bean, she was more let's make out on the first date kind of a dog. And so that wasn't necessarily the right choice for going to breweries with people who had never met her before. So Yoda was a better choice for that. And I talked about dog-friendly breweries, dog-friendly fundraising events. So you'll notice a lot of those places that have happy hours or yappy hours. You'll see yappy hours as a terminology. They do a lot of fundraising for local rescues. So that was another thing that I tried to highlight in the blog. And of course, there was humor because it's A Dog Walks Into a Bar. And I prefer puns. I appreciate them a lot. So I started to write for the blog. And then other brands started to reach out to me to either take images for them or write for their blogs or for writing for magazines. So I began to understand the scope of all of the different spaces where I could be either sharing images or writing, and then sort of understood the potential of the field, right? So I fell into it in a lot of ways, which I think is a good thing because I understood the value after having developed a lot of connections and relationships with people in the space. Mm-hmm. And that helped me in a lot of ways. So I finally got out of higher education. It was slowly sucking my soul dry. I started to work at a pet ID company and was finally able to have that really be my home, working in the pet space. And now I'm currently in the pet space as a member of the Dog TV team. So it's been a kind of a twisty, turny road, but that's really kind of the fun of it, is it wasn't, you know, waking up one morning and just being like, I'm going to be in the pet space. It was a gradual move on over. And that also meant that I got to know some really amazing people along the way.
I have a question. You rocked it at BlogPause. You won all of the major blogging awards. I just want to give you a shout out because you were one of the top bloggers in the nation at the time and still are. And tell us, you know, a lot of people don't understand the work that goes into that. That was like a full-time job, wasn't it?
It was a lot of work. Yeah. So I thank you, first off. I appreciate that. And it was a lot of fun, but it is a lot of work. And when you are starting out in that field, so for me, as an example, I wanted to take photos of my dog. And then I started to realize all of those other pieces, right? So obviously writing well, understanding what SEO is, understanding why SEO matters, advocating for yourself and understanding the metrics on social media platforms, understanding how to collaborate with other brands and have them work with you or want to work with you. It all is important. None of them are really any more or less important. And there's only so much time in the day to be able to do all of those different pieces. And for many of the people, I think I would say probably 80% of the folks that were a part of the BlogPause world, they had other full-time jobs. So very few of them, what they are or were doing in the pet blogging world was their sole source of income. It was an addendum to, and they might have made money, but it was more, in a lot of cases, just with that experience. So it does take time. It also takes the willingness to learn and a space where that information is available. So that's one of the reasons why networks like the Cat Writers Association, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, the Dog Writers Association, which I'm currently a member, associations like BlogPause and other places where you have a network of people that have familiarity with things that you might have heard of but don't necessarily have that framework, can be really, really valuable. Because I'm a strong photographer and I'm a strong writer, but I don't really spend a lot of time on social media as much as other people. So sort of learning where your strengths are, leaning in on that, and also being able to identify other members of the community that you can at least use as a sounding board can be really valuable as well, but also to collaborate. One of the things that I think is really important is nobody in the pet space needs to be competition. We're all here because we love pets and we love to make their lives happy, healthy, fun, and they enrich our lives as a result. You doing your blog and being successful and me having my blog and being successful, neither one of those are mutually exclusive. There's no competition. There doesn't have to be competition. And if we're lifting each other up and collaborating, then there's a lot more of an ability for us to help with, hey, I know this, or I know someone, let me connect you with that person. And to work collaboratively can be, it's one of the most magical things about the pet world that you don't necessarily find in other places.
Brent, can I ask you a question about blogging? Because how has that changed? Like, how is blogging in 2025? Because I know, Mary, you've been big on blogging. You've been big on following blogs. I know I'm not. I will follow social media accounts, but I will never follow a blog or go on a blog myself unless like something takes me there. So maybe there's a difference in generation. But yeah, I was just wondering is it in 2025?
You're right. It has changed. And I think the intended audience has changed. I think the way people are finding the content has changed. It all still, in a lot of cases, goes back to SEO. But what SEO means isn't necessarily using certain words to just be found. And I think that is what people believe SEO to be. So for anyone who's listening to this and they're hearing that terminology and they haven't really known what it is yet, it's search engine optimization. Dun, dun, dun. And so many people associate that with Google, which is understandable since it's a large search engine. But no matter where, if your dog is limping, and you're typing into a search engine, why is my dog limping? And therefore you find resources. Some of those resources that are answering those questions could be a blog. And so that blog is a repository of information. It can be. And so that goes into, are you using your blog or creating your blog to help answer questions and therefore be found and therefore possibly make money? Or are you using your blog to share relevant stories and information about your life with your pet? And which of those two is better or more valuable? And I can't answer that question. I am always that person who believes the storytelling is paramount to the product that is being mentioned. And I think strongly that there's importance in integrity. I do not ever write about things that I might have not tried. So, and you've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it, especially on social, where people are talking about a face moisturizer and a blah, blah, blah. And every other post is something,
yeah,
a product. And you start to think, well, have they actually tried those things? Do they really care about those things? Or are they simply getting money behind the scenes? And so my logic is, and this is me personally, I will never talk about a product if I've never tried it and I don't feel strongly about it. And it's okay to talk about a product when there are negative aspects about it too, because there's integrity with being transparent. So I'm different than other pet bloggers who might simply be using that space to potentially get traffic and therefore make money. And I don't necessarily care if I don't make money on my blog. I'd much rather care about the relationships and the people I'm helping. So for example, there is a, I have Bean, when she was 4, developed a mast cell tumor, which is young for a dog,
yeah,
to get a mast cell tumor. And they do have the propensity to come back. And so her surgery was very intense, her tiny little body. Her scar was basically her entire side. And she had a pretty badass scar for the rest of her life. And I shared my experience on how scared I was as a pet parent, how I didn't necessarily know what questions to ask, what her experience was from a recovery standpoint, what my experience was after her surgery on my, I guess, anxiety about like continuing to look for signs and keeping track of stuff. And I wrote that blog post. Bean has been, she's not on this plane anymore. She's been gone for at least 3 years. And her surgery was probably at this point a decade ago. I still get traffic on that post and I still get people who interact with it sharing thanks for the narrative of understanding experience, not necessarily like, you need to buy this thing. So that matters. The other thing that I don't know what the right term is, highly aware of, is AI right now.
Yeah.
And are people creating blogs to play the game? Are they actually even creating the blogs, or are they just writing into whichever engine that they can for AI top search queries and having it sort of plop out,
ooh, yeah,
whatever that content is? I, as a writer, I feel my like hackles go up when that happens, because my voice is unique to me. And I am a humor-based storyteller. I cannot recreate that story, nor should I, or that feel in the world of AI. And how many people are using that as their tool?
Yeah.
Terrifying.
It's a horrible situation. I mean, it's the lack of creativity. You know, I was on there looking at things and, you know, and I know a lot of journalists are like, AI is stealing. Like a lot of the major news organizations are like fighting back and doing lawsuits and different things like that. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk with Bryn about dog TV.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
we're back with Bryn Souza with Dog TV. So let's talk about Dog TV.
Yes.
Bryn, what is the approach of Dog TV when it comes to marketing and public relations? Yeah, how are you getting the word out about your programming?
Sure. So we do have, let me explain what Dog TV is for folks that might have never heard of this, who we are and what we create, because it's pretty amazing. So Dog TV is a TV platform and entertainment platform for pets. So dogs and cats see colors differently. They also see images differently. So we have created content for how they see color and how they process images, along with how they process sounds. So the way dogs hear, the frequencies that they hear, and same with cats, is certainly different. So we do have content that matches the way a dog or cat can process those different sights and sounds. So our most common programming, or most popular, I guess is a better way of phrasing it, is relaxation. So if you've ever had one of those stressful days where you're just like, I just need something to help zen, you know, provide some zen, relaxation programming, it works on humans too. I put it on for Bug and also wind up falling asleep. So it is calming programming, calming scenes. There might be ducks swimming in a pond. There could be dogs going on a walk. Nothing really is going to be causing any anxiety, and it's calming music. And a lot of pet parents will leave the home to work or go shopping, and they will turn on relaxation programming for their pets before they leave. So it's a way to help keep their pet comfortable and happy and calm and engaged while they are not currently with them at that time. So we get a lot of videos of pet parents where they're showing their dog watching the TV while they're using like those Ring cameras or other cameras at home. So they're not even there, but the dog is engaged, or they're taking a nice snooze while the programming is happening for them. So we do use social media a lot to share that story, where we're showing pet parents what they're seeing and the dog engaging with the content or simply relaxing. And we're resharing that content to really hammer home that it is a resource for pet parents if they are not able to be with their pet at that window in time. We do also have exposure content and stimulation content. So stimulation is a little bit more upbeat. It has some squeaky toys mixed in to the music. It's faster movement. It's a way to keep a dog a little bit more engaged. And we also have that exposure. So while content is playing, there may be a doorbell that rings or a child that laughs, which when you're not expecting it and you're taking a nap, it is unnerving when you're like, where'd that child come from? But it's understandable. It's introducing pets to sounds that they may not have heard normally, vacuum cleaners, fireworks, in a way that's not big booms and big scaries. So that way they get used to that before those big booms actually happen on like the 4th of July. We also have content for humans. So we have programming from veterinarians talking about relatable subjects that pet parents might be curious about. This month is Dental Health Month. So talking about dental awareness and how to keep your pet's mouth less stinky because you're maintaining their dental health. And we also have information and content from trainers, behaviorists, so that way we are encouraging pet parents to also be a part of the entertainment. The way we get our word out is a kind of a combination. I mentioned before, a lot of social media. There's retargeting that comes with that as well for content ads. We do look at where people are residing. So cities where a lot of pets are located, we will focus geographically on those regions. And then we do have blogs that have relatable content for pet parents to be searching for. So we also have folks that will find us through those, that the magical land of SEO, and then learn about the content that we have and be introduced to us. We have contests on social media, and where individuals can share photos of their pets. That's the favorite part of my day, is I get to be the one who looks at submissions of adorable pets every couple of hours.
And fun job.
I mean, it's my favorite, my goodness, is seeing the names of pets that are just we were at Westminster a couple days ago, and I met a dog named Martha Stewart. I asked if her best friend was Snoop Dogg, and they didn't say no. So I'm just going to assume that there's a Snoop Dogg that's friends with Martha Stewart. But things like kimchi and dumplings.
That's cute.
And there are lots of really amazing pet / food based names that I'm very fond of. But I've seen a lot of kimchis lately, and I can get behind it. So we do also utilize conventional public relations type ventures as well, particularly as we are either releasing new content. So as an example, we did release a cat agori for National Cat Day. So we do have a channel for cats as well. And on that day, we made sure to share a press release and have that information be available for, in most cases, pet-related publications, but we did share it out as much as we could so other folks could be aware of it. And I believe today, maybe, I think it's today, we will have a feature on Inside Edition talking about what Dog TV is and how we create our content. So we try to raise awareness in whatever way we are able to do.
I have a question. You're an influencer. So how is it working with pet influencers now? And does Dog TV have, you know, an influencer marketing program?
We do and we don't. So the short answer is the influencer world has changed pretty rapidly in relation to what the expectations of the brands are and what the expectations of the influencers should may be. And certainly there are influencers that at this scope have millions of followers, and there are others that are more considered what we would call like micro influencers, where it might be a couple thousand, 10,000, but their engagement is very high. So you see a pretty wide range of influencers and what they consider themselves to be. Some of those influencers have a budget requirement that is very high. And while I can appreciate that in many regards, that they, one of my favorite pet bloggers that I'm friends with, her name is Carol Bryant. Her blog is Fidos of Reality. And she would always share whenever a brand would say, well, you're going to get exposure for this thing, which is a nice way of saying we're not going to pay you. Her response is, people die from exposure. If you get exposed to extreme cold, you die. That doesn't pay the electric bill. So I understand the need and desire for influencers to get paid for the talent that they're sharing and the work that they do. And we have a limited budget because there's so many other things that happen in the world. So our focus is more on smaller micro-influencers that have a really engaged follow base, not necessarily a huge swath of followers where they're incredibly talented and they are beyond our price point. So we do reach out to micro-influencers, especially when we have campaigns. And then we also work with other brands that have similar follow, I guess, parameters, so that way we can work with their bases as well and share the messages as along the way too. So it has changed for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Want to know who the latest trendsetters are in Hollywood? How about Irish setters? Find out who's been spotted with Spot, chowing with her chow, and shopping for Gucci with their Poochie. Get the scoop on all the latest celebrity pet patter right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Bryn Souza. Bryn, so Dog TV is really like a streaming service. Is that correct? And who are your customers or viewers, I should say?
Yeah, so it's very interesting. So we can be found in a lot of different places. So Roku devices, Samsung smart TVs, Amazon Fire Sticks, Apple TVs. So there are lots of ways that people are viewing us through streaming. And then, of course, if you are on your phone, you can, use Chromecast to bloop, have it show up on your TV as well, which means if people are traveling and are going to a pet-friendly hotel, they can still use Dog TV wherever they are if the hotel that they're at has any sort of a smart device, which is really, really cool. Our audience is very varied from a demographic standpoint. We have a lot of younger people that are first-time pet owners, and this is their way of making sure that their pet is occupied while they are away. We also have pet parents who are seasoned pet parents. I'll use that terminology. This is not their first time at the rodeo as far as being a pet parent, and they've had years and years of being in that world. So we have pet parents who are retired and are, in many cases, still home with their pet, and they're taking a nap with their pet while they're watching Dog TV. Our demographic is, sorry for the doorbell, is really pretty much about 60% female, 40% male. So it's a little bit skewed female, but the range of ages is anywhere from 20 to 65. So it's a pretty wide range, which is pretty exciting.
That's so awesome. So what is your number one PR or marketing tip to a pet product company or an animal rescue or shelter?
So my biggest piece of advice is know who you're talking to. As an example, my name is Bryn. It is not Brian, which this is more for my personal blog, A Dog Walks Into a Bar. But there were so many people who would reach out to me and they didn't even know who I was. Or they would reference dogs that have been dead for years. And that's unfortunate. And of course, we have had people who reach out to us or brands that reach out to us that don't even really understand what it is that we're providing. So know your audience, just like anything else. Take the moment to understand what it is that we provide as far as either a service or a good, and whether or not who you're reaching and who we reach overlap in that Venn diagram. Because if they don't, it doesn't necessarily mean that we can't connect, but it may be a little bit more difficult for us to understand why our audiences should be caring about whatever that message is that we're trying to convey. This is also true for brands when they are trying to write press releases and share releases with media contacts. Don't share your release to the person who is predominantly the person who covers fashion. If the thing that you're talking about is in the pet nutrition industry, because while they might work under the umbrella of that publication, they're not the right person for you to be in touch with. And frankly, it just makes it look as if you haven't taken the time to know who it is that you're reaching out to. So I would recommend slow down. And I know that that sounds silly with where we are in this world, where everything's so fast, but take a moment to just breathe, take 15 minutes and read three of the most recent posts that whatever that brand is that you're possibly looking to work with has put out there. Get to know their team. Usually a blog will have or a website will have, get to know us, get to know our team. Mary, you mentioned LinkedIn as a way to sort of familiarize yourself with me a little bit.
Yes.
You chatted. There's nothing wrong with hopping onto the worlds of LinkedIn and other social media platforms and just get to know who those people are. So that way, when you are reaching out, it's not as much of a cold call because you know, okay, this is Mary. She has, I don't actually know your cat's names, which is a huge infringement on my part. But
no,
This is Mochi and Mr. Snuggles. And I'm so happy that, you know, Mochi just recovered successfully from their surgery. Get to know people because it's the people part that matters. It's not necessarily the brand or the product that you're trying to sell. It's the people behind the screen or the piece of paper, because those are the ones that we all know that people in the pet industry move around. That's true for any industry. I may wake up tomorrow and know that John Smith, who worked for X brand, a phenomenal person that I've really gotten to know, has now moved over to a different brand. It doesn't take away from the fact that he's a phenomenal person. He's simply representing a different brand now. It's that connection with the person that matters more than the brand itself, in my opinion.
Yes. And you just hit the nail on the head for some great PR tips, too. You know, it is. Earlier, you talked about storytelling. It's all about the story. If you want your journalist to pick up the story, it's got to be about the story. Alex and I are working on a pitch right now for the Pet of the Year contest for pet partners. And, you know, the contest in and of itself, it may not be very exciting to the media, but when we put in that these are some of the same dogs who are helping the wildfires in Los Angeles, that creates a different situation. And like, we're working with some journalists in Cincinnati who are very tied to the fact, like, this is so cool, you know, that you're raising money and we've got therapy dogs in, here in Cincinnati. And because that's such a big news story, right?
Right. Right.
So storytelling and your advice is just phenomenal. And, you know, we encourage everyone, like, Bryn, you are just a wealth of information. And so tell us, Bryn, how people can get a hold of you.
Sure. So in the world of dog TV, and really in general, I'm typically the only Bryn in a 50-mile radius. So that's a good and a bad thing, depending on how much I want to hide. So I can't hide typically. So if you type into search just Bryn and pets, you'll find me. My social media or my LinkedIn is my first and last name is Bryn Souza. Again, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one. So you should be able to find me there. For contacting me in relation to dog TV, my email is bryn@dogtv.com. And I am very active on social in general. So if you want to connect, just type in Bryn, you'll find me, B-R-Y-N. And my Instagrams are a dog walks into a bar with dots in between each letter. So a dot, dog, dot. There's someone who took regular, a dog walks into a bar, and it seems like a 12-year-old who doesn't know how the internet works. And so I've asked him since then, can I have a dog walks into a bar? And he never responded. So there are little dots in between. And my regular just Bean and Yoda, and now my dog's name is Bug, their social media is beanparty.yodapash.bugdisco. So a whole bunch of parties with our different respective dogs. I do have a photography business too. So brynsouza.com will take you to some of my photos. And if nothing else, they should at least bring you some Zen, because they're pretty calming scenes that folks can hopefully just chill out to as well.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Bryn. That's a wrap for this show. We're so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are making life better for animals. And you have a question you want us to answer? Reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. And as we always say,
fur cloud and purr smart.
See everyone.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.